Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Edmonton's home for breaking news on your favorite teams.
This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on the voice of your Edmonton Oilers and Eskimos, 630 CHED.
All right, setting the scoreboard for you. Penguins lead the Capitals 2-1 after 40 minutes. Predators and Jets coming up in half an hour. The Blue Jays lead the Indians 1-0 in the top of the third, second game of a twin bill. Blue Jays won the opener 13-11 in 11 innings. And in the NBA tonight, the Raptors lose to the Cavaliers 128-110. Cleveland up 2-0 in the series. The Oil Kings take Dylan Gunther first overall in the WHL Bantam Draft. Oil Kings general manager Randy Hansch will join us in about half an hour. Bill Torrey has passed away at the age of 83. Former NHL general manager with the Panthers, the Islanders, and the Oakland Seals. That's how long he was in the league. He was the GM for the Islanders when they won those four Stanley Cups from 1980 to 1983. My name is Reed Wilkins, live at Commonwealth Stadium, as we're also keeping a very close eye on the CFL draft tonight. The Edmonton Eskimos are on the clock with their first selection in the draft. It comes in at 10th overall. Heard that story there that Thomas is reading, that Twitter is saying everybody should change their passwords, though they've fixed the problem. How many people have password as their password? I've never done that. But apparently it's quite common. Somebody told me once, do you know what the most fun password to have is? And I'm thinking, like, what are you talking about? Who has a fun password? A password is a password. It's not meant for entertainment purposes. And this person says to me, no, Reed, the best password you can have is detonate. Because you get to type in detonate, enter. Maybe a little twisted. Not going to lie to you. So at some point in your life, just try having detonate as a password for something and see how that feels. No? All right. All right, Reed Wilkins with you, Inside Sports on 630 CHED. Really appreciate you tuning in tonight. I'm going to owe Jack Michaels a dinner at Northern Chicken because he put out that sassy tweet a couple of days ago prior to Game 1 between the Raptors and Cavaliers. Jack saying there's no way that the Raptors win this series. They're not beating LBJ and company. And I said, Jack, let's bet. And we have bet, and the Cavaliers have promptly won the first two games on the road. I'm not a big better in terms of making bets with other people on sporting events. I've never been like, oh, we're going to bet this, or you owe me this, or you owe me that. Certainly, I will do pools. I'll do the DraftKings event, you know, play fantasy football, stuff like that. But I've never been much of betting other people. I know some people get pretty crazy bets at times. You know, you start betting larger sums of money or rounds of golf or spaceships. If you're Lando Calrissian and Han Solo, you're making bets for each other's spaceships. I've never been one, but I will likely be. Maybe I should do this. Should I go double or nothing with Jack on the Penguins Capitals series? Because obviously he's insisting that the Penguins are going to win. The Capitals lead the series, though they're down in the game tonight. I don't know. Maybe that's a way for me to even it out in the chicken world. But anyway, we'll see if the Raptors can bounce back in that series. The Eskimos are on the clock, 10th overall. Great to have Ryan King drop by. Earlier in the show, he was taken by the Eskimos 38th overall in 2012 out of St. Mary's. He had quite the story about how when he was playing, went to play university football, they changed the rules midstream for him and said, okay, a player can only have 7 years maximum of junior and U Sports or CIS football combined. So he'd played 4 years Edmonton Wildcats, 3 years St. Mary's Huskies, and then was told, well, that's it for your eligibility. You've used it up. So it's in 2011, he's hoping to put on a great show and be a great player and get drafted in 2012. And he couldn't play, but he told the story about how he coached and then took some student loan money to go get some training and long snapping training in San Diego. So things worked out pretty well for him. Well, we've had Stephanie Labbé on the show before. She's a very decorated Canadian soccer player, obviously bronze medalist, playing goal at the 2016 Rio Olympics. She's was born in Edmonton. Stephanie, you're on with Reed Wilkins. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well, thank you.
Thanks for checking in. As I mentioned, we've talked before, usually sort of more straightforward sports stories. We've talked about your preparation or highs and lows in your careers and some of your work away from the game. Stephanie, this one's a little more unusual because the short version is that you made a team but aren't allowed to play for that team. I'll let you put the full story in your own words, though, if you can.
Yeah, sure. That is a very short story. The little bit of a longer story is I decided at the end of my pro season last year, I wanted to try something a little different and challenge myself in a whole new way. And so I decided to try out for a men's team, and I decided to try to push for something that, you know, no female in Canada has ever done before. So I got in touch with a couple coaches and had some resistance, but finally, I chatted with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. here at Foothills, and he opened the door for me to come try out, show that I can compete. And if I was able to show that, and if I was able to compete and make a roster spot, then he would be completely open to it, and that he would judge me based on my abilities and not on my gender. And he was super open about it. So I came in and been training hard every day and integrating with the team, and have felt so welcome from day one. The players, the staff, the club, everyone's been so great about it and has really just treated me like another player on the team. And now that it's kind of come time where, you know, I was doing well and competing, where Tommy, you know, started to talk to the league that he wanted to sign me. But unfortunately, the league has come back and said that, you know, this is a male league and no women allowed.
Okay, so that seems odd to me, Stephanie, because there is precedent, and I know even Shannon Zabados, who I've been interviewing since she was playing in the AJHL in a league with, you know, males under the age of 20, that if a woman is good enough to make a men's league, I can't remember a circumstance where she's been told no. So why have you been told that you've been told no?
Exactly. And that's, you know, I guess something that was on my mind when I was pursuing this was that other women have done it in other sports. So why not soccer? You know, why can't this happen here? And I think the issue here is that it's never been done before. No one's ever asked these questions. No one's ever challenged it. So the rules are there and no one's ever challenged those rules. So the league has never had to revisit them and really look at them. And unfortunately, you know, we are having this conversation because we shouldn't be in this day and age. But I think the biggest thing is that we've challenged the league and we've opened the conversation up. And, you know, I'm hoping that they do take a forward stance because, you know, their initial statement said that I have other options and there's a pro league that I can play in. But, you know, that pro league is down in the U.S. I don't have a pro league in Canada to play in. So that's not really a viable option for me to play professionally with a women's team here in Canada.
Sorry to interrupt. They're saying that because there's a women's pro league in the United States, they're not going to let you play in this men's league in Canada.
That's kind of their initial response. And the fact that in the rules it says that this is a male league, so I'm not a male.
Okay. All right, so, well, that fair enough. Stephanie Labbé joining us. What is this league you've tried out for, what would the caliber be? Because, we had FC Edmonton in here, so is it like a tier below that, or what are we looking at here?
So it'd be pretty similar to that. It's a North American league, and so the basis of this league is it's a U23 league, but you're allowed to have, I'm not sure the exact number, don't quote me on it, but it's between like 5 and 8 over 23. And so, sorry about that.
That's okay.
So you're allowed a few over 23s, and for me, it's just, you know, I was hoping to be one of those players and to be able to kind of bring that expertise to this team. But I think the thing here is that, like I said, it is new and it's something different. And I'm just hoping that we can challenge this and really look at it as, you know, that this league is great and it's for developing young male players and developing players to go into the professional world. And, you know, I want to support that too.
Okay. So are you still hopeful you're gonna play for this team, or do you think it's, you know, you're just going to move on but still kind of fight this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm realistic and I understand that this role might not be changed overnight. It's not something that can just happen with a flick of a switch, unfortunately, but I'm putting in the fight and, you know, I want to challenge that. I want them to take it to the board of directors and I want them to take it to the higher-ups to revisit this, because I think it is an old rule that needs to be revisited and re-challenged and looked at again, because whether it's for me being able to play within the next 2 months or it's for a young girl who's, you know, following this journey and dreams about doing it herself one day, I hope that she doesn't have to face these same barriers.
Yeah, it seems a little odd, like I mentioned, given the precedent that has happened in other sports and in pretty much all levels of those sports. And I cited Shannon Zabados as a great example. And I know she was one person who reached out to you, at least on social media, showing a little support. Have you found, and I know you've been doing other interviews, obviously, have you been found people are supportive? Have you been getting, I mean, unfortunately, I'm sure you're getting some probably inappropriate responses as well that aren't helpful. But, you know, have you got any sort of responses that maybe are saying, well, Stephanie, have you looked at it this way? Like, what's the reaction kind of been?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I think overwhelming positive response. I think that the biggest thing is I'm raising an issue and I'm starting a conversation that needs to be had. And yeah, there's been so much positive. And of course, there are negatives. People are going to see it from all different perspectives. And I welcome the negative criticism, because that's what makes conversations happen. And that's what makes us really look at things. You know, there's a freedom of speech aspect here and everybody has their own opinion and they're completely welcome to that. And I think, you know, the biggest thing, the one that kind of gets me is when people say, well, if you're allowed to play in a men's league, then a man should be able to play in a women's league. And I think my reaction to that is that there's a pretty obvious genetic, biological difference between males and females. And so when it comes to athletics and those biological differences, that's why we create women's leagues, is so that women have the opportunity to play in a professional league and not have to compete against somebody who may be genetically superior to them or have stronger, faster abilities within their body. But for a female, if you're able to overcome those physical characteristics and those genetic things, that if you're able to overcome that and also be able to bring the same amount of technical abilities to the game, then why shouldn't you be able to compete with them?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was asked that earlier today by one of the hosts on the station. Well, why couldn't a man go play in a women's league? And I said, look, it's not, I know it's 2018, but it's not sexist to say that generally men are bigger, stronger, and faster than women at the highest level of sports, right? But like you said, if a woman can make that league, then why shouldn't she be allowed to play? Stephanie, before we wrap it up, and I know your dog needs your attention probably more than I do, but I haven't talked to you in a while.
No problem.
But you're obviously a great story with Edmonton. You were in Stoney Plain too for a lot of your life, wasn't it?
Yep, that's where I was born and raised.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, you're a Northern Albertan through and through, and I know you were doing some great work, and it kind of along these lines, you've done some great work about just keeping women and girls active in sports and you know, using sports to kind of give them confidence and empower them. I think it was the Like a Girl campaign you were a part of as well. Can you just update us on anything in your life, any work you're doing in those areas?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I'm super passionate about, and you know, I know that when girls are young and they're starting to feel the pressures of, you know, whether they want to stay in sports or not, I know how much sport has given to my life and how much sport has helped me, not only in my specific soccer career, but in who I am as a person, the relationships I've created over the years, the connections, the characteristics I've built, the self-confidence I have because of sport. All of those things, you know, those are the things I want to embody and hopefully show young girls, you know, how sport has helped me become the person and the human that I am today is because of it. So, you know, I'm actively trying to encourage young girls to stay in sports no matter what. And I think this issue goes back to that. You know, when we're on the schoolyard and we're picking teams to play soccer out at recess or baseball or whatever it is, you know, I want girls to feel that they can compete with the boys in gym class just as much as, you know, the boys can be there. So I think that this is a bigger issue than you know, me just wanting to be on this men's soccer team. It's about inspiring young girls and showing them that if they can compete, they can compete. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl.
Well, Stephanie, well said. And it's always great to have you on the show. We got to try to talk more often because you're always so intelligent and well-spoken, and you have an incredible perspective on things. And thanks for updating us on the story here with the Foothills soccer team. I know it's kind of a stressful and unusual situation for you, but thanks a lot for sharing, and all the best. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That is Stephanie Labbe checking in tonight, Inside Sports on 630 CHED. So, she was told pretty bluntly, it's a men's league, and you can go play on a women's league, but that's in the United States. She doesn't want to go play on that in that league, and she was good enough to make the team in Calgary. So kind of an odd situation. I don't really know if there's a precedent for it. I know Shannon Zabados tweeted out, "I've been fortunate to play in leagues that only focus on skill, ability, and most importantly, development. They do not discriminate based on race, sex, or age." And then she thanks some of the leagues she has played in, including ACAC Men's Hockey and the Alberta Junior Hockey League. And she says, "Thank you for developing me into the player I am today." That was in reaction to Stephanie Labbe being left out for the Calgary's Foothills men's soccer team from the Premier Development League. That's a feeder league in North America, mostly under 23 players. There are allowed a few over 23. Obviously, Stephanie would fit that bill. It is 7:22. The Eskimos have made their pick, 10th overall, Godfrey Onyeka, defensive back from Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo, Ontario, where I visited last week. Godfrey Onyeka, defensive back from Wilfrid Laurier, taken 10th overall by the Edmonton Eskimos. Inside Sports on 630 CHED.
The Shift with Drex.
Can't sleep?
Working the late shift?
Just a night out?
The Shift with Drex
has got you covered. 11 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Here's what's coming up tonight. The Shift with Drex.
Tonight, live in studio, Jamie Kennedy. You probably know him from the Jamie Kennedy Experiment and all the Scream movies. He is in Canada doing some stand-up, and he joins us in studio tonight.
It's a Canadian conversation
with a fresh perspective. The Shift with Drex.
11 p.m. to 3 a.m.
on 630 CHED.
What does warm weather sound like? Does it sound like this? Or this? Maybe, but what it really sounds like is this. Warm weather means it's Mustang season at your Ford dealer, and nothing says warm weather like taking the new 2018 Mustang out for a spin. And with 310 horsepower, it's time to hit the open road. Mustang season starts at $28,839. Visit findyourford.ca or see your Alberta Ford dealer for details. Variable dealer charges excluded.
This is not a call to action. This is a call to arms. A rally cry to unite the most respected and feared city in CFL history. Edmonton, the city of champions. Where opposing teams hate to play because they know where they stand here. They don't stand a chance. We are more than a team. We are one empire. Eskimos tickets on sale now. Join the empire at esks.com.
Today, we can expect a warm front that'll bring temperatures up 5 degrees, followed by gusting winds, freezing rain, blazing heat, and intermittent sunshine. And, oh, now there's a blue swirl on the map, which probably means cold? Then tomorrow, snow and a high of 25. You know what? Your guess is as good as mine. Donna, back to you.
Don't depend on the weatherman. Get Hankook all-season tires instead. Purchase by May 31st, and you'll get up to $80 back. For details, go to HankookTire.com.
Greg Christensen from Christensen Developments.
Like all Christensen communities, Southwoods Court North is designed to be a fun, active, and social community. It's also energy efficient with a geothermal heating system and cogeneration unit to reduce your monthly living expenses.
Imagine retirement living in a new open design suite with spacious balcony and no worries of unexpected repair bills that come with an older home. Call Lynn for a personal VIP tour or information on our Tuesday seminars. Learn more at cdlhomes.com.
From the time we're born, there are limits all around us. Speed limits. Height limits.
You gotta be this tall to get on this ride. You are not this tall.
Seriously? You know what you can do with your limits, right? Get to the Jeep No Limits event, where you can get a 2018 Jeep Cherokee with up to 15% off MSRP for total discounts up to $7,500. No limits. Nowhere in sight. See your Jeep retailer for details.
This is J.C. Sheriff from your Edmonton Eskimos, and you're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 CHED.
All right, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. It is 7:25. Penguins up 2-1 on the Capitals. 11 and a half minutes left in the third period. Jets and Predators about to get underway in Winnipeg. What a series that has been. Live from Commonwealth Stadium tonight, I'm Reed Wilkins. We've had some great guests on the show. Stephanie Labbe was just on. Ryan King, Eskimos long snapper, was telling some tales about his draft year and draft day experience. The Eskimos have picked 10th overall, Godfrey Onyeka-Morley, defensive back from Wilfrid Laurier University.
And we just briefly, and we're going to try and turn this tape around so you can hear it later yourself, but talked to Eskimos GM Brock Sunderland, and he really stressed his athleticism and his size and the way he plays the game. Very aggressive defensively, very aggressive physically. So that's what he liked about him. That's what kind of drew his eye to him. And I know every GM says this all the time, but he said he had him rated in the first round. And that's kind of, they said they had 10 players ranked in the first round that were all pretty
good
equal
enough to
as
be
far
in the first round.
Good enough to be in the first round. So that's why he was confident making that trade to drop down to the 10th spot, because they knew they were going to get a guy they felt could be in the first round.
Well,
he's pretty happy, I think, with what he's got.
Starting to see some Canadians in the defensive backfield outside of safety, with Argent Colquhoun from the Eskimos being a great example.
And that's the one thing where Godfrey can come in, and he can maybe, if he earns it, he can be a backup at two spots. Like that's
right.
He's played cornerback in college, and that's his strength. But he's also, like most Canadian DBs and like most people who play in the defensive backfield, you got to learn all the positions, right? So to have an opportunity for him to back up at two spots is also something that bodes well for him. So
it was also the WHL draft today. Oil Kings general manager Randy Hanch is up next. All right, Inside Sports on Oilers and Eskimos Radio 630 CHED. Penguins still up 2-1 on the Capitals. 4 minutes left in the third period there. The Raptors lost by 18 points to the Cavaliers. Cavs are up 2-0 in the series. The Eskimos have selected Godfrey Onyeka with their first pick in the CFL draft. It was the first pick in the second round, 10th overall. The Eskimos didn't have a first rounder. They traded the 6th overall to Hamilton yesterday. And also, the Edmonton Oil Kings today in the WHL Bantam Draft selected Edmonton's Dylan Gunther first overall out of the Northern Alberta Extreme. And I'm pleased to be joined by Oil Kings general manager Randy Hanch. Randy, you're on with Reed. I know you've had a really busy couple of days, so thank you so much for making time for me. How are you doing?
Hey, first of all, anytime, Reed. Appreciate you having us on, and doing fine, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, look, you guys obviously had a tough year, but you did get the first overall pick, and Dylan Gunther, I know I talked to a couple people who have seen him play a lot, and they praised his shot as one of his strongest attributes, but what can you tell us to flesh out his game a little bit?
Well, we're really pleased that we had the opportunity to select Dylan there with the first pick. Like you touched on, you're never happy picking first, but once you do have that selection, you do want to keep it. And overall with Dylan's game, he's a really smart, high IQ offensive player, really good puck skills, can shoot the puck, and he can score. And he has the ability to play with really good players, and he can make them better also. And he just has all-around offensive game, and like I said, he's a pure goal scorer.
And I assume you expect at his age he's going to grow and fill out quite a bit as well.
Exactly. You know, I think what was impressive for him is he probably grew anywhere from a couple inches this year and still kept the mechanics in his game. And now he's just, it's a process right now. He has to continue to grow and get stronger, and that will take time. But overall, like I said, that he had a bit of a growth spurt this year, and kept his mechanics and coordination, and like I said, showed his talent.
Does he play on the same team that young man Matt Savoy plays for?
Exactly, yeah. They're on NAX, and they played together, and like I said, they worked well together, and like I said, I think it showed that he has the ability to play with very good players, and they made each other better this year, for sure.
All right, good stuff. All right, so you got Dylan Gunther first overall. You had another pick later in the first round, Keegan Slaney. He's a defenseman of Airdrie. What can you tell us about Keegan?
Keegan's an honest hockey player. You know, you're, 2018 type of defenseman. He can skate, he moves the puck, he competes. He competes a lot harder than his size. But very active on the back end and good leadership. Had a big leadership role with the Airdrie team that won Alberta and unfortunately lost in the final to Seafair at the Westerns. But overall, good character kid that has a lot of leadership abilities and has the ability to skate the puck up ice and move it with a good first pass.
Randy, you're testing my memory here of leagues I follow not as closely as others, but that Airdrie team, I want to say that was the one that beat the St. Albert Sabres in the league final, where four of the five games went to overtime.
Exactly. And then obviously the last one that was a marathon, where you know it was unfortunate that somebody had to lose because there are two teams that, like you said, the number of games that went to overtime, they played each other hard and well. And like I said, it was unfortunate that somebody did have to lose, because the reality was there's probably both those teams would have represented Alberta very well.
Yeah, well, good experience for Keegan Slaney for sure. Okay, so with those two first-round picks, Gunther and Slaney, are they in Philadelphia right now? What's going on with that?
Yeah, they're actually in Philadelphia along with Matt Smith, the player we took in the third round. So it's kind of it's some type of tournament, that's for sure, because the All-Star team that they assembled here is pretty talented. That is representing Team West there. So like I said, there's a high profile and good group of talented kids that are on that team.
All right. Randy, I know you also made some trades today. We're not going to go through everyone, but you picked up a couple of 20-year-olds, Quinn Benjafield and Vince Lachiavo. So you added some 20s. Where are you with your 20s right now? Are you going to have to make more moves, or how are you standing?
Well, that was an important thing. Like I said, today was part of obviously the future with the draft is a huge importance, and then we had the chance to also add to the present, and adding Quinn and Vinny we thought was important. We had the opportunity to do it, and basically that puts us at 320s right now. And like I said, in the 20-year-old market, sometimes gets limited as the season goes on or as the summer goes on. So we had a chance to get in on it early, and we did, and we felt that adding the experience to our group, will certainly help, along with their goal-scoring abilities. Will hopefully create more offense, and I think it's a good opportunity for them to experience coming into a new place, learning to adapt, and taking on a leadership role.
All right. Well, Randy, you know, a busy couple of days. Obviously, the awards were I should give you guys a plug here. What award did the Oil Kings win again?
The Martin Award. And so, you know, big congrats to Kevin Radomski and his staff. Like I said, Kevin's very, very, very passionate with his job and what he does. And like I said, it was nice to see him and his staff get recognized, and along with our fans. Like I said, we're fortunate. We have some loyal fans and a good fan base. And like I said, it's an Oil King Award, but also it's we feel an award for our fans also.
Okay. Randy, I hope we have more time to talk here during the off season. But thanks again for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Good stuff with the draft today.
Hey, Reed, anytime, and thank you very much.
That is Randy Hanch checking in, general manager of your Edmonton Oil Kings. And, I mean, hey, he summed it up. You never want to draft first overall, because that means you're coming off a tough year. But they get a couple picks in the first round. Dylan Gunther, first overall. And, plays for NAX. Talking to a couple people who have seen him play, great shot, like a really high caliber shot, very smart as well, pretty good skater, decent size for his age, 5'11", around 155, 160, so he'll obviously still fill out there as he gets a little bit older. You can get more on the Oil Kings draft by going to 630ched.com. We are hoping, and we'll see how it goes here just with availability and timing, we are hoping to hear from the Eskimos' original or 10th overall draft pick tonight, Godfrey Onyeka. out of Wilfrid Laurier University. We'll try to get him on before 8 o'clock. Dave Campbell and Morley Scott are in the building as well. The text line here is 630-630. I've got to a lot of texts tonight. Thanks for some supportive texts towards Stephanie Labbe. That was an excellent interview she gave us tonight about her situation trying out for a men's soccer team in Calgary, making the team and then being told, well, you can't play because it's only a men's league. And we were talking earlier today about passwords. Thomas Dias had that story in his 7 o'clock newscast about Twitter recommending you change your password because some kind of technological glitch. Chad says, my last password at work was winter 2018. It's now spring 2018. Guess what it'll be next? Well, Chad, I hope none of your coworkers figure out who you are and hack your account tomorrow, but that's okay. And Jeremy from Glendon, one of my favorites, says, hey, Reed, make your password incorrect. So when you forget your password and enter the wrong thing, it will remind you your password is incorrect. And Oil10, who's a pretty thoughtful texter as well, says, Reed, why doesn't the CFL make the CFL draft an event, hold it in a ballroom, and have fans attend? The top-rated players and families could be there, interview the newly drafted players, family, and the GMs. I don't understand. If the NFL can get 100,000 people, can't the CFL get a few thousand to attend? Not impressed with Randy Ambrosi, a lost opportunity to promote the CFL. That is from Oil 10. That's an interesting question. That maybe has been the first person who has reached out to the show saying that they want the CFL draft to be a bigger deal, as Dave Campbell slides back. Oh, by the way, do we know if we're getting Godfrey? Is he on the line? We can get him. We can get him on the next 5 or 10 minutes.
Working on it.
We're working on getting Godfrey. Okay.
Here we are.
This is great. This is what I love.
Live radio.
Trying to get people on the show. Okay. So Oil 10, I mean, that's cool. I don't know if we're there. I mean, we know what TSN has done for the CFL television-wise, and they've made the first couple of rounds a lot more of an event than it used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're at the stage where you could centralize it and get a few thousand fans to go.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can do that yet. I think that's a good idea. I would love to see it happen, but unfortunately, I don't know if the league is there yet and doubtful. So when you say, you know, when Oil 10 says Randy Ambrosi missed opportunity, no, I think it's smart to do it the way it has been done. And we're going back to about the 2010 season, I think. That's when we first, when TSN first decided, we're going to just throw the draft on TV. And back then it was just the first round. Now they're doing the first two rounds. And that's what they're doing now. And then, you know, they'll have the rest online, I believe. So, you know, I don't think the league is there yet. I think there is more interest being generated year in, year out about the draft, and that we're knowing more about the prospects. And you got to thank guys got to thank guys like, you know, TSN's Dwayne Ford and Marshall Ferguson with the CFL.ca, Justin Dunk with Three Down Nation, who, you know, I talked to yesterday. You know, we're knowing more and more about the CFL prospects, but I don't know if it makes sense right now to, you know, rent a ballroom, hoping that a few thousand fans show up and then, you know, a few hundred fans show up. I don't know if the league is quite at that stage yet. So the way it's being done right now, it's a little quirky, but I think it works.
Could get a Def Leppard cover band to play.
Why not? Pour some sugar on me.
Are you going to stick around to talk to Godfrey?
Yeah, I'll stick around.
Is he doing a conference call? Do we know?
Yeah, he just finished up a conference call, and
we're hopefully getting.
Yeah.
So Kellen, if a football player named Godfrey Onyeka calls in, we're going to put him on the show.
Don't hang up.
The Penguins have just beaten the Capitals 3-1. We'll take a quick timeout. Inside Sports on Ched.
This is Mike Riley from your Edmonton Eskimos, and you're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 Ched.
All right, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. So, yeah, the Penguins beat the Capitals 3-1. That series tied 1-1. Jets and Predators, game 4, 2 minutes in, no score. Jays and Cleveland tied 2-2 in the bottom of the fourth. Second half of a doubleheader. Earlier, the Jays won 13-11 in 11 innings. Basketball, 128-110. Cleveland over Toronto. The Cavs go up 2-0 in that best of 7. Reed Wilkins at Commonwealth Stadium, joined by Dave Campbell, the producer of this show, and our color analyst. analyst for Eskimos broadcasts on 630 Chet, and soon he could be analyzing the performance of this guy who the Eskimos have just taken 10th overall in the CFL draft out of Wilfrid Laurier, Godfrey Onyeka. Godfrey, welcome to Inside Sports. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. How does it feel to be an Edmonton Eskimo?
It feels amazing.
What was your reaction when the team took you?
I was elated. I was happy someone had faith in me and took me.
What was the process like, I guess, you can even go back to about 2 months ago when you're going through the combine and you're going through the interviews and then the waiting period and then today. What has the whole process been like and what have you learned from it?
It's been kind of tedious, but honestly, it's been one of the most fun things that I've done. And you learn patience, to be honest. Things come with time, right? So you just learn how to stay the course, trust the process, and hopefully good things happen. And obviously you work for it too as well.
Did you have any idea that it would be the Eskimos, or were you not really focused on what team would pick you? You just focused on being picked.
It was a little bit of both. Like, literally no idea it would be Edmonton, especially considering their draft recently. But, yeah, I don't know. I just really thought about it. I just kind of hope someone had faith in me, and I'm super excited because it's Edmonton.
Godfrey, tell us a little bit about your style of play, and I'll ask you if there's a position in the defensive backfield that you feel most comfortable with.
Okay. I'm going to say, if I had to describe myself in one word, it'd be aggressive. Also, it's like a control aggressive. So I'm very, very coachable. And I know how to play within the confines of the rules sometimes, but I'm also very skilled around teaching to be aggressive or ever asked to get into a tackle or something. It's just something I do excited. And the position I would love to play. Anywhere they put me, I think I can accept. So I don't have a position where, like, you're...
Well, Brock Sunderland, the Eskimos GM, says... He envisions you as a corner and that you're someone that can play anywhere, safety, halfback, but he envisions you as a corner. What about your skill set?
He's gone.
Oh, he's
all right,
gone.
Well,
okay.
We didn't have a great connection. All right. Well, there he was. We got to meet him a little bit. Now you can ask him at training camp when he shows up, and it doesn't have to be the same questions. Because he'll be like, hey, I was going to ask you that other night, but we got cut off. Godfrey Onyeka from Wilfrid Laurier, that is in Waterloo, Ontario. I know that because I was born there and my cousin works at the university. Not in the football department. They did win the OUA title with Godfrey on the roster in 2016. He was a first-team All-Star last year and an All-Canadian in football in 2016. So this is a good athlete, a good player, 6'2", about 200 pounds, bigger guy. So if he can, you know... Here's the thing with Canadians. You often say, well, you draft these special teams. Well, fair enough. But if he can actually start or be the first backup up, the next man up at a couple of positions, then that turns out to be a pretty good pick if that's who he can blossom into.
I think his versatility is very attractive to the Eskimos, and Brock Sunderland said, you know, he can play anywhere in that secondary. And there's been some talk he could possibly play linebacker.
That's interesting.
Yes.
That position, yes.
Because, and being 6'2", 225, I think that would tell you he could play probably either the Will linebacker or the cover linebacker side, which is the Sam linebacker, or as the Eskimos call it, a nickel. But it looks like he's going to line up at corner, back up Arjun Colquhoun, and I think that's where Brock Sunderland maybe looks back at the combine, and he had good one-on-ones during the one-on-one sessions, and he was able to close. He was aggressive. He's got the speed, and for sure, I would say he would definitely factor on special teams. He'd have a shot there as well. That, you know, I think it's a pretty reasonable to expect that Godfrey Onyeka may be on special teams pretty quickly on the Eskimos. So, and that's an area they're looking to improve.
All right, just catching up here. How close are we to another Eskimos pick? Still a few picks away. We're up to, 18th overall. Toronto's going to pick. Eskimos' next pick is 20th. Mark Cordy from the U of A Golden Bears offensive lineman who's been, he had an NFL day here in Edmonton. And didn't he go down to the States recently, or is he there right now?
Yeah, he's there right now. He's in New York. He's got two NFL minicamp tryouts, one with the Giants and one with the New York Jets. And the Giants, of course, they bring in many Canadian prospects.
Yeah, that's interesting how the Giants have been a team that really has looked at a lot of Canadians.
Yeah, and they have a Canadian on the roster, Brett Jones,
right.
Former Calgary Stampeder, former most outstanding lineman. He's their starting, I don't think he's center. He's a starting offensive lineman on that team. So once in a while it works. But yeah, they bring in a ton of Canadian prospects.
So Cordy will get a look there, but he goes fourth overall to the Ottawa Red Blacks. And as you guys were talking about earlier, joins Ed Ilnicki on the Red Blacks roster so they could have a U of A connection.
Yeah.
So we'll wish those two guys the best, as always, except when they play the Eskimos.
That's right. And there's another U of A Golden Bear that should get drafted, and that's offensive lineman Justin Lawrence, who was talking to Chris Morris about him on Monday, and he had high praise for Justin Lawrence. And Lawrence and Cordy are kind of the same mold. They're very physical. They're mean and nasty, and very good in the run block. And so he should get drafted somewhere too.
All right. So the Eskimos will keep drafting tonight. You and Morley will keep covering it. So check your Twitter accounts, the Ched Twitter account, and more on 630ched.com. And then we're into May. There's a game. I mean, looking out on this field here at Commonwealth, there's a game here May 27th, preseason game against an opponent from Saskatchewan. So next week is rookie camp and training camp, next week?
Training camp, the medicals will start on May the 19th.
Okay.
I don't believe they're having a rookie camp, or at least they haven't announced it yet.
Oh, they're not doing one this year.
I don't believe they are.
Because they did the Vegas thing, and that was kind of for everybody. All right.
That's right. So May 19th is medicals, May 20th is the first on-field sessions, and then they play a week later against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Then they play 6 days later in Winnipeg against the Bombers, and their preseason schedule's over, and they'll have an open week where they don't play, but they're going to have to practice.
Because the preseason's awkward with the nine teams playing two games
each. It is.
Yeah.
It is. And the final cutdown day is on June the 9th. So Jason Moss, head coach, he's going to have these guys working out on this field quite a bit during that week. So that's going to be a really busy work week. And the fact that you don't have an initial cutdown day in camp, like there was a point where you have to cut down to 65 players. You don't have to anymore.
Right.
You know, it's just one cutdown day. You can make cuts, but you don't have a mandated initial cutdown day. You just have a final cutdown.
They used to have a week one preseason cutdown, and then now you just have to be down to a certain roster by the end.
That's right.
So that'll be the next storyline, and that'll be interesting to see if any of these draft picks can make the team and be there right away.
And if you base it off last year's team, I mean, 6 of 8 contributed, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you never know what the injuries.
Well, like Morley said, Boateng was, he was an important player.
Steal of the draft last year, hands down.
Curtis Stock is going to be on the show tomorrow. He tweeted this out: I'll release my Kentucky Derby winner 7:30 p.m. Friday night on 6:30.
Whoa!
He's giving us the winner tomorrow night.
What?
That's amazing.
Do that? Does he have a DeLorean?
He knows Curtis can pick stuff. He's good.
He is very good.
Curtis Stock will be in studio. We'll have a lot more. Dave, thanks for stopping by.
You bet.
Morley Scott was here as well. Thanks to our studio producer, Kellen Kennedy. Thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. Thanks to Angie and Sean, who set us up here at Commonwealth Stadium. Thanks to the Eskimos for accommodating. My name is Reed Wilkins. Talk to you tomorrow night.
630 Ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Ched.